So when Shastram reveals what you are not, thereby it tells you what you are. Once you have the vision of the Shastram, then you can say what you are and what you are not. So Brahmaivaham means you say what you are. Nasamsara means you also say what you are not. That's why it's twice. It is not enough if you simply say what you are. You have to say simultaneously what you are not also. So Brahma eva aham na samsari. Aham samsari means I am subject to samsara. And subject to samsara means I am bound. I am bound means I am bound by limitations. Bound by limitations means I am bound by karma. Bondage of karma. I am bound by bondage of karma means I entertain all the notions I entertain about myself are wrong. Which means I do not know what I am really. But once the vision is very clear, that eva, no, eva, not eva, not eva, but eva. Eva is what? Indeclarable participle emphasizing the emphasis. Okay, it emphasizing the emphasis. Brahma eva aham means, when you say jalameva tarangaha, jalameva tarangaha means what it is, the water which is the substance of the substantive wave, substance of the substantive wave. The substantive denotes a given form, and that form is nothing but a form in which the water water obtains. Okay? Therefore, similarly, Brahma eva ahamasmi means what is that which is revealed by the word Brahma? What is that word revealed by the word Brahma? The reality, abstract, formless reality, obtaining in him a pure knowledge, the only source of all knowledge, and which is of the nature of self-existence, therefore which is of the nature of limitlessness, is implied by the term Brahma, and that reality, obtaining in him a pure knowledge, is pure consciousness, is the substance of the substantive aham. Brahma eva ahamasmi. Therefore, I the self am not bound by samsara, bound by this life of limitations, life of becoming. Why? As the reality implied by the term Brahma, I am the very source of samsara. I am the very life of samsara. I am the very truth of samsara, in whom I the self am the reality, the knowledge in which the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, samsara, enjoys existence. Okay? For samsara adharaha aham. I am the reality basis. I am the very basis in which samsara enjoys existence. Therefore, I am free from samsara. I am not bound by samsara. You see, we don't say samsara is not there at all. That's another problem. Samsara is not there at all, we cannot say. There is samsara. Samsarati means what? That which keeps moving perfectly. Okay? Samsarati, samyak sarati means that which keeps moving perfectly in order, which means perfect movement of this samsara. What does it mean? That which keeps moving perfectly means what? constantly there is manifestation. And there is a time the universe enjoys existence, and again the universe becomes unmanifest. When the power of reality becomes unmanifest, the universe loses its status of being existent, universe becomes unmanifest. Again, the power of reality becomes manifest, then there is manifestation of knowledge, then universe enjoys its status of being existent. Again, it becomes unmanifest. Okay, similarly, there's a birth. Once you are born, what is that which causes the birth? Why there is something called birth? Birth means coming into existence, enjoying the body, mind, sense complex, enjoying, being endowed with the abode of enjoyment called physical body, being endowed with the instruments of enjoyment, instruments of actions, into the mind, coming into existence is called what? Being born. Understand? And once you're born means the what is that which determines this birth. Birth is one of the incidents, isn't it? One of the changes happening, determined by the karma, karma phalam. And then throughout, until this you leave the physical body also, what is it which determines the departure from the body? Again, body falling apart, called death, is all determined by the power of the karma phalam. In between birth and death, what you go through, all determined by what? Your power of the karma phalam. So birth, death, in between birth and death, what the pairs of opposites we go through, everything is determined by the power of the karma phalam. And who? Okay? Again, after the birth, again, new set of parabdha will be ready in Sanchitam. Because we have beginningless Sanchitam. Again, there's a next birth. Again, there's a next birth. Again, there's a next birth. Again, there's a death. Again, there's a next birth. In between, we go through this patch of opposites. The proportion of pain and pleasure may vary from person to person, but everyone is going through. And it's called what? And when does this, when is the first birth? When does the first birth begin? Which is the last birth? Yes. The first, there's no first birth, okay? The samsara, this is called what now? Beginningless, endless cycle of many births and deaths is samsaraha. And this is possible. What root cause of the samsaraha is ajnanam. Ajnanam means what? This avidya. What is this? As long as this power of reality remains, half power of reality remains unmanifest in terms of ignorance, so long will there be the ignorance caused problems in terms of wrong, erroneous self-perception, and there will be superimposition and wrong notions, etc. And as long as wrong notions are there in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and there will be a karma phalam also, one is bound by bondage of karma, and so long will there be bondage. So this bondage, without doing undoing anything, without undoing the karma phalani, without undoing the karma, without undoing anything, without changing anything, one can free oneself from bondage of karma. Do you need to exhaust all the karma to become free from bondage of karma? No, not necessary. Without undoing anything, without destroying anything, without doing anything, you can just free yourself from bondage of karma. How? Just by resolving the wrong notions you have entertained about the self. In terms of, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. These wrong notions you entertain about the self will resolve when there is a total manifestation of knowledge in terms of what I am, thereby what this universe is. Is it clear now? When this total manifestation of knowledge in terms of what I am, what this universe is, in the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of what I am, what this universe is, and all that is, there is only Brahma, then in all the notions we had about the self and the world will resolve, then in right perspective of the self and the world, without you don't change yourself, nor do you need to change the world or anything here. You don't need to exhaust the karma phalam, you don't need to do anything here. Everything is perfectly there as it is, because it's a beautiful order, there's a universal, natural, moral law and order within the realm of which alone everything that is here, everything, all the functions, all the actions, everything which enjoys existence is within the realm of this universal, natural, moral law and order. And this order itself is what? Everything is manifestation of knowledge, means this order also is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, this constant, the beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, known by the term samsaraha. Why? It is perfectly, it is happening. There is an order. Why there is manifestation of knowledge? Why the power of reality becomes manifest? Why there is manifestation of knowledge, and why there is manifestation of the universe? And why the universe which is manifest, why can't be manifest always? Why does it become unmanifest? Why does the power of reality again becomes unmanifest? That is the nature of the power of the reality. Unchangeable nature of the power of the reality. Okay? Therefore, and this order within the realm of which on every small thing, right from ant onwards, right from any tiniest being, living thing or non-living thing, whichever enjoys existence here, every small thing has its own space, its own time. Understand? That's why we have no right. Everything enjoys existence here is what? Is significant. Every being is significant as you are. This also will help you understand how to have reference for everything. Therefore, everything enjoys its existence within the realm of the law and order. And this order also is what? Manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? Everything is manifestation of knowledge, means what? The order being manifest is known only when there is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, this order also is manifestation of knowledge, means this order also is Ishvara. Understand? Therefore, what is understood here? All these wrong notions, the error in the perception of the self and the world, is the correction of the error. Everything happens only when there is manifestation of total knowledge in terms of what I am, thereby what this universe is, and in knowing what I am, what the universe is, you resolve even the objectively, empirically, subjectively real, objectively real duality and plurality also you resolve. You resolve all the divisions and differences from the standpoint of absolute vision of the absolute reality, and in spite of experiencing the duality, still you resolve duality absolutely. Therefore, and when that vision is there, and there is no more samsaraha. Okay, so that is why the samsaraha means what? The bondage. The notion that I am bound is the notion. I am subject to limitations is the notion. This notion will be there as long as there is ignorance. This ignorance means what? As long as ignorance is not resolved. As long as ignorance is not resolved means as long as there is no total manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, and once you just don't become free from samsara, you discover yourself being already free from samsara. It's very important, okay? After the attainment of knowledge, you do not become free from samsara. You understand yourself being already free from samsara. How? You see yourself, you don't say samsara is not there at all. Samsara is constant, continuous, isn't it? This life of becoming, life of is there, but this samsara is there where? The world becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest constantly happens. Where does it happen? Waves rise and resolve means where do the waves rise and resolve? There must be substratum, there must be adhara, the basis. It can't happen somewhere else, isn't it? That is why it is I, the self, am the reality, the consciousness in which the samsara enjoys existence. Samsara, we don't say samsara is not there, but you say what? There's no samsara outside of me. There's no samsara other than me. Okay? It means I am free from samsara. I am the source or the basis of samsara. Therefore, I am free from samsara. They become free from samsara? No. In discovering what I am, I see myself being already free from samsara. Then what can I say? Brahmaivaham na samsari. Brahmaivaham na samsari. Again you have to say what? Na chaham brahmanav prithak. Brahmanav prithak. And cha and na aham prithak. Brahmanaha. Brahmanaha, fifth case. I am not separate from Brahman. Why? I am Brahman. Is the wave separate from water? Is the wave different from water? Wave is non-separate from water. Similarly here, I the self am non-different from Brahma. I am Brahma. I am Brahman alone. I am non-different from Brahma. I am non-different from Brahma means what? It's an emphasis. Okay? It's emphatically expressed that I, the self, am Brahma. Okay? Brahma, na aham brahmanaha prithak. I'm non-different from Brahma. Not only I am non-different from Brahma, nothing is different from Brahma here. Brahman is distinct from everything. Brahman is not distant from anything. Okay? Brahman is distinct from everything, but not distant from anything. Therefore, nothing is different from Brahma means what? Nothing exists other than Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Therefore, nacha aham brahmanaha prithaka means what? I am non-separate, non-different from Brahma. Why? Aham brahmasmi. Aham brahmasmi alone is repeatedly emphasized by saying, I am non-different from Brahma. I am non-separate from Brahma. Once this fact is very clear, not only I am non-different from Brahma, nothing in the world is non-separate from, different from Brahma. Nothing is different from Brahma means, you can say what? Nothing is different from me, nothing is distant from me. In fact, I, the self, am alone. I, the self, am the whole. Is it clear?
Fifth case from
fifth case. Yeah, for both. For neuter and masculine, fifth case is the same. Brahmanaha only. Yeah. For nakaranta shabda, fifth case is Brahmanaha only. Same. Only nominative and objective, some changes will be there. Others are same. Like akaranta pullinga and akaranta neuter. Napusaklinga, same, isn't it? Except certain things. Palat purushat, like that. Brahmanaha, Brahmanaha. Okay? Brahmanaha aham na prithak. Prithak means I am not separate from Brahman. Which means there is no duality. There is no division. One fact is three times repeated. In three different ways. Brahmaiva aham asmi. Aham na samsari. அகம் ந பிரம்மணா பிருத்தக், ஐ எம் நான் டிஃபரண்ட் நான் செப்பரேட் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மா, விச் மீன்ஸ் ஐ ஆம் பிரம்ம. அண்ட் ஹேவிங் செட் தட், அகெய்ன் இட் இஸ் கன்ஃபர்ம்ட், ரீஇன்போர்ஸ்ட். வாட் இஸ் தட்? இஃப் ஐ எம் நான் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மா, நான் செப்பரேட் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மா, இஃப் ஐ எம் நாட் சம்சாரி, ஐ எம் நாட் பவுண்ட் பை டைம் ஸ்பேஸ் அண்ட் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் லிமிடேஷன்ஸ், ஐ எம் நாட் பவுண்ட் பை bondage of karma, I am free from all wrong notions about the self, Adi Self, I am Brahman alone, means definitely I, the self, am not the body. What does it mean? I, the self, am distinct from the form, gross physical form. I, the consciousness, am distinct from the grossest physical body. But I, the self, am consciousness, not distant from the gross physical body. I, the self, am the subtlest abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, distinct from the gross body, but not distant from the gross body. Is it clear? It's very important. Nobody else tells this except Swamiji. They'll tell that I am not the body. The little translation is what? I am not the body. And then how are you going to account for the body? How are you going to say body is Brahma? It is not enough if you say I am not Brahma. I am not the body if you say it's not enough. It is not enough if you say I am consciousness, I am Brahma as me also. You have to account for body. What is this body then? You have to say body is Brahma also. Okay? I am not the body, but the body, I am Brahma as me. Body is also Brahma. You have to say that. How will you say body is Brahma? That is why you have to say, I the self am pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, I am distinct, I the consciousness am distinct from the gross physical body. Okay? Whereas, I am not distant from the body. The light, the illumining light, is distinct from the illumined opaque, but not distant from the illumined opaque. Just as this opaque thing is reflecting medium for the light, and thereby the opaque thing is reflection of the light, the gross physical body is what? Manifesting medium for consciousness, and it is the manifestation of consciousness. But the body does not directly, is not the manifest. Actual manifestation of manifesting medium is the mind. Mind is the subtle form, manifestation of knowledge. For na aham deha means what? You have to say, I am not distant from the body. Which means, there is no such a thing called a gross physical body which enjoys existence outside of, independent of reality, the consciousness. The body exists in me. All these days we were thinking of what? We were thinking, I am a human being endowed with the physical body having consciousness in me. Now you have shifted your understanding. What? I, the self, am consciousness in which the physical body enjoys its existence. Temporarily, we endowed with the physical body. Is it clear? So, perspective changes. Therefore, na aham dehaha. When you say be very careful, don't simply say I am not the body. You have to say this way, I, the self, am the consciousness, distinct from abstract reality consciousness, distinct from the gross physical body, not distant from the body. Which means the body doesn't exist outside of me, the consciousness. I am a conscious being endowed with the physical body. I'm not a human being, okay, having consciousness in me. I'm consciousness having human physical form. And thereby all the forms also are endowed. Okay, enjoy existence in me. Then, na aham dehaha. Now he makes it very clear. Name dehaha. I, the consciousness, am distinct from the body, not distant from the body. Can you say I have the body then? No. There is no body for me. I do not have the body. Consciousness does not have the body. The body is consciousness. Is it clear? Can you say water has the wave? Can you say water has the wave? There is no possessed connection between the light and the opaque things which shine in the light. Similarly, there is no possessed connection between water and the forms, wave form. You listen to me? There's no possessed connection between the water and the wave form. There's no possessed connection between the light and the opaque things. Similarly, there's no possessed connection between the abstract reality, the consciousness, and all the forms which shine in reality, which enjoy existence in reality, the consciousness, in knowledge. Therefore, you can't say consciousness has a body. Which means what? Consciousness doesn't have a body. Consciousness is distinct from the body. Consciousness is not distant from the body, which means the every body which is experienced is nothing but consciousness. Why we should not say consciousness has the body? Because body is Brahma. Your body is Brahma means what now? Everything here is Brahma. Every object of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. Every object is knowledge. And your body is what? Your physical body is manifestation of knowledge. There being an object of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, every body is knowledge. Every body is manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, there's between consciousness and the body, there's no possessed connection. Therefore, I am consciousness. I, the self, am the abstract, subtlest reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, pure knowledge, which is distinct from all the physical forms, at the same which is not distant from the physical forms, but all the physical forms enjoy their existence only in consciousness. Even though forms are time bound, when they enjoy their existence only in consciousness. Therefore, I am consciousness, therefore I do not have a body. All the forms, all the physical forms are myself. Is it naham? Naham dehaha, name dehaha. Very clever, huh? Do you see that? Na aham dehaha, na me dehaha. Do you see the difference? Me means mama, my. My means what? I do not have a body. See, in English, you know, when you say na mama, me means mama. Mama means there is not my body. Which means I do not have a body. I am not the body, nor do I have the body. Because we want to say that. Okay, I am not the body, but I have the body. Can I say? No. If you say, I am not the body, what does it mean? I am not the body means I am consciousness distinct from the body, not distant from the body. Therefore, the body is I, the consciousness. Therefore, there's no possessed connection between I, the consciousness, and the body. Okay? Therefore, you cannot say what? I have a body also, you cannot say. Not only you cannot say I am not the body, nor can you say, I have the body also, you cannot say. Which means there is no body other than myself. The body is also consciousness. I is consciousness. Mind is consciousness. Sense organs are consciousness. Physiological functions are consciousness. Memory is consciousness. The whole, every physical part is consciousness. The whole physical body is consciousness. Everything external to the body is also consciousness, means everything is manifestation of knowledge. It is not very clear, still your vision will not be clear. Nor do I have a body. Not only I am distinct from the body. You know, it's not enough if you say I am not the body. You have to say also what the body is. Why? Start from I am. I am is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of thought. In terms of I am, is also about object of knowledge. And memory is object of knowledge. Ego is, your intellect is object of knowledge. Mind is object of knowledge. Physiological functions are objects of knowledge. Sense powers are objects of knowledge. Isn't it? You already distinguished. You can't distance, but you distinguished the I as the knower in terms of knower. And have distinguished the knower from the known. You've already resolved the knower in consciousness, because there's no knower at all other than consciousness, pure knowledge. The knower is resolved already. And what about the known? Between knower and the known are not physically distancible. There's no knower other than consciousness, and the knower consciousness is not distant at all from the known. Distinct but not distant. Pooja Swamiji, in every class he will repeat that. Why? Whatever I say has gone into me from young age. I'm repeating this 108 times. No, the knower is distinct from not distant. Only then you can say the known, knower is not distant from the known, means consciousness is not distant from the matter. Okay? I am consciousness, your I self am consciousness, not distant from this. I consciousness am not distant from this objective universe. Therefore, what about your body maintains complex? The entire body maintains complex is the entire objective universe is manifestation of knowledge. Being the manifestation of knowledge is not different from knowledge. So anything and everything which enjoys existence is manifestation of knowledge. And manifestation of knowledge means not distant from knowledge. You see that? Therefore, you cannot even say what? I have a body also, you cannot say. If you say I have a body, then there will be problem. I have a body means I am the possessor of the body. Body is possessed by me. The possessor-possessed connection comes. And possessor-possessed connection means there is separability. Now why? My book means Priya can take it. It is separable from me. Anything which has possessor-possessed connection is subject to separation. Is it clear? Between the water and the wave is a possessor-possessed connection. Between the light and the illumined object, there is no possessor-possessed connection. Adhara, adheya, sambandha is not there. Connection means what? Separability comes. And separable means what? Duality comes. And duality comes means the plurality will be there. Divisions will be there. Differences will be there. From the standpoint of sadvastu, satyam, that which alone is, and that in that alone everything comes and goes, means everything which comes and goes is manifestation of that reality, which is non-separate from the reality. You see that? Therefore, very clear. Naham dehaha means it is, people generally translate this as, I am not the body. But you have to say what? You can say, I am not the body. Then immediately next sentence has to come there. I, the knower, am consciousness distinct from the known body, but not distant from the body, which means there is no body which is separate, which enjoys existence independently outside of me. Therefore, body is not possessed by me. The body is me. Okay, start from I, resolve the I in consciousness. Thereafterwards, a known body maintenance complex also, everything resolved in same Brahma. One day your body maintenance complex is resolved in Brahma, then cognitively the entire objective universe is resolvable in Brahma. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see?
Yes.
You have to nod your head. I'm repeating so many times, thinking exactly what I'm seeing. Are you seeing? So I'm thinking, that's why I'm repeating. You may be also seeing what I'm seeing. But I want confirmation, that's why I'm repeating. Na aham, see, na aham dehaha. Why na puts, why can't we say aham na dehaha in poetry? Aham na dehaha is also correct expression. Grammatically correct. Aham na dehaha, dehaha aham na, okay, na aham dehaha, all the, you can put the sentence any way, any form. In English you can't do it, isn't it? In Sanskritam, you can put any word anywhere, still you get the same meaning. The syntax is like that, you know. This means, na aham dehaha, aham na dehaha. Dehaha aham na. You can say anywhere. But why Shankara in his poetry, he starts with the na to emphasize the no. Okay? Definitely substance, the swarupam of I, the essential nature of I is abstract, all-pervasive reality, arrived at 10 terms of its nature of knowing, the consciousness, the knowledge. Is it clear? That is why the na. If I am distinct, the body, name dehaha means what? I do not have a body. I, the consciousness, am free from all the physical forms. It means all the physical forms enjoy their existence in me, the consciousness. All the physical forms are, grossest physical forms are subtlest consciousness. Okay? The body is consciousness. I am conscious. The body is nothing but I. But I am, I do not have the body. Is it clear now? Okay, next. Then, if I am not the body, I am distinct from the body, I do not have the body, I do not have the body means I do not have the form also. And what am I then? Kevalaha aham sanatanaha. Sanatanaha means sadatanaha. Sada means always. Kada means when, sada means always. So kada is a question word, indicable word, and sada means always. Always means what? Even when the time is not. Even when the time is not, even when the space is not, knowing the time being not there, that which is there timelessly, knowing the time being not there, lending that which is there always, lending even existence to the very time factor, is what? Is said to be of the nature of eternity. Sanatana means, I the self am consciousness of the nature of eternity, timelessness. Sanatana means, everlasting, eternal. Sanatana is another word for Nityaha. If I am consciousness and there's the time is object of knowledge. Time is means time consciousness is. So existence of time presupposes the knowledge of the time. Time doesn't, there's no such a thing called time which enjoys existence outside of knowledge. Time itself is object of knowledge. Therefore, reality which is of the nature of knowledge is free from time limitation, is of the nature of timelessness. That reality which is always there, knowing the time being not there, or even ending the existence of the time when it is of the nature of eternity. Therefore, I the self am eternal consciousness which is all by itself, which is of the nature of self-existence. I the self am consciousness of the nature of self-existence. I the self am alone. This is a fact. If you if we shift the essence from body, mind, and complex and dissolve it in consciousness, then you can say, I, the self, am alone. What else is there here now? That is why the dissolving the essence also is sometimes frightening for people. Kevalaha means what? I, the self, am alone. I, the self, am alone, which means nothing else is here other than. The word kevalaha is very, very highly expressive expression, expressive term. You know why? I, the self, am alone means all that is here is myself. I, the self, am the whole. I am the whole. all I am knowledge, all that is here is knowledge, therefore I am the knowledge, I the self am the whole, I alone am. I the self am alone. Nothing else other than me is here. This is the actually Advaita Darshanam. Kevalaha, aham kevalaha, kevalaha aham means I the self am alone. Why? All that is here is myself. I am the whole, therefore I am. Which means, aham kevalaha means there is no second parallel reality other than myself. The second thing other than myself, I the self am Brahma, everything is Brahma, therefore I the self am alone. Is it clear? From the standpoint of water, imagine if the water happens to. It's understanding, isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Kevalaha implies what? Secondlessness. Kevalaha implies secondlessness and non-duality of the reality. It is the Kevalaha aham is another way of saying, expressing Advaita Darshanam. Brahmaivaham na samsari.
Brahmaivaham na samsari.
Sometimes it make you think. No? If we say, I remain untouched, means what? Mm-hmm. I am there, something else is there without touching. That will be. You just say nothing is here other than me. See, for something to be touched, there will be something which touches, isn't it? That untouched, the expression untainted, untouched is used to say there's a second thing. See, there are two people, one person can touch the other person. Touch is a transitive verb. Therefore, touch means something touches, means something else must be touched. Two independent things must be there for one thing to touch the other thing, for one thing to be touched by the other thing. And we say all that is there only Brahma means. There's no second thing other than Brahma means. Brahman alone is. Therefore, aham kevalaha means what? I the self am alone. Why? I the self am the whole. Is it clear now? You place the I in Brahma, then you can say what? I the Brahman am alone. No, it's not wrong, but you say it's again it gives you confusion, isn't it? Tamil word ottamal has different meaning, isn't it? If you pour the milk, some glass, steel stain the glass cup, doesn't touch it, isn't it? It remains untouched. That's not that way. For touching in place, there's no second thing other than Brahma, secondlessness. You see, the whole ocean is water, and the wave which has resolved its individuality in water, resolved its, the smallness in the water, and it sees the whole ocean being water. And what can it say? I, the self, am the water, the whole. Means nothing other than the water here. Therefore, what can touch? This is untouched by anything else. So here, untouched, untainted means there is nothing other than Brahma here. And aham Brahma asmi, therefore I the self am alone. Nothing other than the self. Kevalaha sanatanaha. And how am I here? I am here always. Always, without going, without coming, without arriving, without departing, without undergoing any changes. And like the witness. Like the witness. That too, not, you know, by having the nature of witnessing everything, the consciousness, I am always, isn't it? So, I, the self, am of the nature of eternity. Aham kevalaha, aham sanatana. Every word is highly profound word. Every word reveals the nature of the reality. That is why the Vedanta Shastram always kept it for sannyasa ashrama, not for brahmacharya ashrama, not for grihastha ashrama. Always this was taught, Vedanta Shastram. Who should be contemplative? You can study when you are young, but actually the contemplation means repeatedly seeing what the truth is, what the fact is. They said sannyasa ashrama. Maybe you have lived your life properly and you understood the limitations of everything and your mind is now mature enough, available for contemplation. Because who will listen to this from morning till evening, my God? I, the self alone, I, the self am, I am the whole. I said it's a fact. See, what is said is not some blabbering. It is the abstract fact, absolute fact. And this fact really, the assimilation of this fact needs what? Certain preparedness. Even if you are 70, 80, you are not prepared, then you cannot stand this class. You will be bored with this class. Not because of repetition. The style of the teaching is such, because what is taught is very abstract. Do you see that? So, aham kevalaha, aham sanatanaha means I, the self, am the whole. I, the self, am alone. There's nothing which is not I. Nothing which is outside of I, other than myself. And I am the very truth in which the time enjoys existence. And I am always lending existence to the time which comes and goes. In me the time comes and goes. I am free from time. Okay, therefore, I am Sanatanaha. Okay. So, in his verse number 27, Shankara Bhagavad Pada just expresses his own vision. Say 27th verse is a verse consisting of words revealing Shankara Bhagavad Pada's own vision of the truth. Okay. As a wise person, as a person reveling in the vision of the truth, and how he sees his real self, he expresses his vision in the verse 27. And now, in 28, when he says, and that should, Shankara Bhagavad Pada's vision should become our vision. Understand? That's why it is meant for us, it's meant for contemplation, and for his, it's expression of his real vision. So Shankara's, Shastra's vision is revealed as Shankara's vision, and the Shankara's vision is supposed to become our vision. It will become our vision when we dwell upon what is revealed in these verses. Okay. Now, in the 27th verse, Shankara Bhagavad Pada revealed his own vision of the truth in terms of what he is essentially, and which anyone in the wake of the wisdom, in the wake of knowledge of the truth, this must be the vision of anyone, any wise person. And in the 28th verse, Shastra's vision is revealed. The 27th verse, vision of Shankara Bhagavad Pada is revealed, and the vision, Shastra's vision of what the reality is, quoted here, revealed here, in terms of the original quotation from the Upanishad. Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana. No way, this is the vision. So you have to repeat that. Ekame, one line only has given. Ekame vadvitiyam vai. Brahmano neha kinchana. Ekame vadvitiyam vai. Brahmano neha kinchana. Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana. Sometimes understanding will make you feel emotional also. Oh my God, this is the fact. When you're very young, when you listen, understanding happens also. You seem to be understanding, and this is something, it make you feel emotional. That's okay, it's good, comes out. Ekame vadvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana 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 I purposely repeated, I purposely expected you to recite because it is to be memorized. Okay? You have to memorize this sentence. It must be in your mind all the time. Ekam eva asti. All that is here is only the truth. Don't say one truth. What is here is only the truth. You say what is as only the truth means you're also implying there is no aham. I arrive at the truth as the truth of I, and having arrived at the truth, I resolve the I in the very truth. Okay, what is, there is only the truth. Ekam yeva asti. What is only the truth means, what does it mean? Advitiyam. The only the truth means there is no second thing other than the truth. Advitiyam. There is only the secondless, non-dual reality. There is only the secondless, non-dual reality. Implied by the term Brahma. Is only the secondless non-dual reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is of the nature of existence and which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby implied by the term Brahman alone is here. Ekameva advitiyam. And what is that ekameva advitiyam? What is that only secondless non-dual reality? Pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness. And how is it? It is always independently. Therefore, it is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, implied by the term Brahma. Saying, therefore, na iha kinchana, na iha, here, now, here, kinchana, na, there's nothing else. Kinchana means something, little. Na kinchana means nothing else is here other than Brahma. Other than the abstract, subtlest reality obtaining in the form of knowledge, the form of pure existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma. Okay? There is nothing else here other than Brahma, which means what is only secondless, non-dual reality, implied by the term Brahma. There is nothing else other than Brahma. When you say all that is here is only manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness. All that is here is only manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness. When you say all that is here is only manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness, means you are meaning aham brahma asmi, sarvam brahma asti. When you say aham brahma asmi, sarvam brahma asti, it means this total manifestation of knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? The total manifestation of knowledge means there is no ignorance. Ignorance is resolved. There is only knowledge. Is there something called matter other than consciousness, reality? Just now I told you, there is no matter outside of other than consciousness. You are not physically doing anything here. It is you are cognitively seeing the fact of everything being manifestation of knowledge. Ekameva advitiyam. Brahmanaha na iha kinchana. So, Brahmana again Panchami, fifth case. There is nothing else other than Brahma. Nothing other than the truth in terms of knowledge. For us to see everything here is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. You must have seen what knowledge is, how knowledge is. Seen means what? You must have understood it. For you to be able to see, there is nothing else other than, when you see the ocean, for you to say there is nothing else other than water, you must have recognized what water is. In the water you have to resolve all the waves and the ocean cognitively, then you can say what is only water. There is neither wave nor the ocean. Similarly, you must have arrived at the reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge as the truth of I, and having resolved the I cognitively in the Brahm reality, obtaining in the form of knowledge, then you have to see the whole world also is not outside of knowledge. Then you can say what? There is neither ID over the subject, nor this, the world, the object, not even the division and the duality are the differences. Nothing is really, nothing else is there other than Brahma. Anything which seems to be there is Brahma. Anything which seems to be there is Brahma. There is nothing else other than Brahma. Na iha kinchana, nothing else here other than Brahma. All that is here is only the truth, secondless, non-dual reality implied by the term Brahma, okay, which is nothing but knowledge. That is why it is said in the Upanishad, the one who sees the world does not see the truth, and one who sees the truth cannot see the world. Cannot see the world means what? Not that you don't see the world at all, you don't see the world to be real. Now we can tell you, Nasato vidyato bhavaha meaning. Understand? One who sees the truth, for him the world is not there. The one who sees the world, the reality is not known. What have we done now physically? Nothing. But Vedanta does drag your attention from the world to the reality. Attention from the known to the knower, and then the knower status, it helps you see how that which obtains as the knower consciousness. So shifting the attention from the known to the knower, and the knower, and dwelling upon the nature of the knower, dissolving the knower is what? Contemplation. When nothing else is there means, is there plurality? Is there multiplicity? Are there divisions? Are there differences? Yes, differences are seemingly there. Divisions are seemingly there. Duality is seemingly there. Within the realm of the known world, the divisions and differences, duality, plurality, multiplicity, everything is there within the realm of the world of duality. but still they're all seemingly there. Absolutely, there's nothing else other than Brahma. That's why the word always it is said, Ekam Advitiyam Advaitam. I think after this class, I should not talk anymore. I should stop teaching, in fact. I'm not saying, what I mean is, so much it gives you. Ekam Advitiyam Advaitam. One only secondous non-dual reality. What is the form of the reality? You can only arrive at that reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, you have to use the term what? Jnanam. Any no Vedanta teacher coming from any part of the world can change this. Fact what I am saying here. They can't say something differently. Any mathematics teacher has to teach you 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Doesn't matter which medium of instruction he is using. Because fact is taught means it has to be the same. Fact cannot differ from person to person or the area to area, isn't it? Whichever part of the world whoever comes and teaches mathematics, they cannot teach differently. 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Similarly here, whoever teacher comes, whoever comes and tells, this is a fact. Only thing is, this fact has to be, what is the fact for the teacher should become the fact for, what is the fact for the teacher should become true to the understanding of the student. Isn't it? Being the fact must be clear for the student also. Only then the teaching has served its purpose. The communication served its purpose. Is it clear? Ekam eva. There is no second thing other than the reality. There is no second parallel reality. The only secondless non-dual reality arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing as the very truth of I implied by the term Brahma because of its nature of limitlessness and which is the of the self-existence alone is here. There is nothing else other than Brahman is here. Na iha kinchana. And if you look at this same thing, you can say all that is there is only Brahma. And if you look at this as all that is here is only manifestation of knowledge, then you can use the term Ishwaraha. Okay? When can I use the expression Ishwaraha? You can say the two ways of seeing all that is here is anything which shines, which enjoys the status of being the existent, is manifestation of knowledge. If you say, you can say the manifestation implies what? Order also, the order involved in manifestation. Therefore, you can look at the whole thing as what? Ishwaraha, Bhagavan. So, where is all knowledge? Where is all knowledge? Any knowledge of anything obtaining in the form of thought in any mind is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge of physics, knowledge of chemistry, knowledge of biology, knowledge of arts and science, any knowledge of anything that is in the form of knowledge, obtaining the form of thought in any mind is manifestation of the knowledge. and the source of that knowledge is one and the only reality called consciousness. Okay? Source is one. The knowledge of any given object might risen from a thought in any mind, but the source of which is what? The same reality. Therefore, all knowledge, jnanam. Similarly, any wealth, any pleasure, enjoyed by anybody in any form, anywhere, any comfort, any pleasure, anything, any wealth, any of prosperity in any form, enjoyed by anybody, anywhere, in any form, is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, Srihi, all wealth. What is wealth? All wealth is manifestation of knowledge. Srihi. Jnanam Srihi. Similarly, any strength, in any degree of strength, enjoyed on the part of anything, anywhere, anybody, that strength, the source of all strength, the source of all strength is what? The reality. Therefore, viryam is manifestation of knowledge. Wealth is manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. Okay? All knowledge, all wealth, all strength, jnanam shrihi, viryam, yashas, any fame enjoyed by anybody, anything, for anything, any fame enjoyed by anybody for anything, for any, for excellence in any discipline, expression of any excellence is manifestation of knowledge. So eminence, popularity, fame enjoyed by anybody for any special accomplishment, achievement is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. There is no such a thing called fame outside of knowledge. So all fame is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore what? Yashas. So jnanam, all knowledge, shrihi, all wealth, or prosperity and entirety, all strength and all fame, aishwaryam. Aishwarya means having the status of being the Lord, the overlordship. Whoever enjoys any lordship, wherever you find any lordship being enjoyed, that is also manifestation of knowledge. At least if I say, come behind me, the dog comes behind me, I have a small lordship over my dog. As a father of the family, one enjoys the lordship within, isn't it? Any lordship enjoyed is called what? Having the status of being the protector or the lord of any, relative sense is also what? Everything is ultimately manifestation of knowledge. There cannot be something called lordship outside of the reality. There is manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Aishwaryam. I really want you to see this. There is no Aishwaryam outside of Aishwaryam. What is Aishwaryam? Lordship is manifestation of knowledge. All strength is manifestation of knowledge. All wealth is manifestation of knowledge. All knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. All fame is manifestation of knowledge. Now, even Vairagyam, even total dispassion is also manifestation of Maj. In a way, where there is total manifestation of Maj, where there is wisdom, and there is fullness, isn't it? Where there is total manifestation of Maj, where there is wisdom in terms of Aham Brahma Asmi Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, then there is vision of fullness. And where there is vision of fullness, there is all the wrong notions are resolved, there is inadequacies resolved, limitations are resolved, therefore there cannot be passion for anything, isn't it? Passion for anything presupposes what? Having sense of inadequacy centered on I. In vision of the totality, in vision of the fullness, knowledge, where there is fullness, there cannot be sense of inadequacy centered on I, there will be only fullness. Fullness and inadequacy cannot coexist. If there is no inadequacy, means inadequacy, where there is inadequacy, there alone passion is possible. Fullness and passion cannot coexist. They are opposed to each other. Do you see that? Fullness and passion cannot coexist. Why? In fullness, there cannot be inadequacy. If there is no inadequacy, then there cannot be needs. If there is no need, means no passion is possible. Is it clear? Therefore, where there is vision of the truth, there is vision of the fullness. Where there is fullness, there is no inadequacy. There is no inadequacy means there cannot be needs. There are no needs means no passion is possible. Where there is no passion at all for anything, what is total dispassion. So total dispassion implies fullness. Okay, fullness is equal to total dispassion. And this total dispassion also is what? Total manifestation of knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, Ishvara. Is it clear now? Therefore, total dispassion, Purna Vairagyam. Vairagyam, Aishwaryam, overlordship. Vairagyam, total dispassion. Overlordship, Aishwaryam, all fame, yashas, all strength, viryam, all shrihi, all forms of wealth, and all knowledge, all the sixfold virtues, are together constitute the word bhaga, and the one who is endowed with all the six is what we say, Bhagavan. Basically, now when you look at everything is manifestation of knowledge, and Bhagavan Ishwaraha is the title attributed to the manifest knowledge is looked upon as Ishwara, means Bhagavan, means all these sixfold virtues are what? Manifestations of knowledge. Therefore, all these six are what? Together form Bhaga. Is it clear now? Bhagavan is another name attributed to the reality from the standpoint of all the six being the manifestation of knowledge. Knowledge manifest is given the title what? Ishvara. Here, therefore, you can say all that is here is only secondless non-dual reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, and there is nothing else other than Brahma. Mean you can say, otherwise you can say all that is here is only Bhagavan. When you use the word only, you are saying there is neither I am nor this world. Another way of saying, I am the whole, you say first Aham Brahma Asmi, then you discover all that is here is Brahma, Then third sentence you say, I am the whole, and at last you say, all that is here is only secondless, non-dual reality, Brahma. There's nothing other than Brahma, means you have cognitively resolved I and this in the world, in Brahma. So what are the stages now? First, Aham Brahma Asmi. Second sentence, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. All that is here is Brahma. What third sentence? I itself am the whole. Ahamidam Sarvam. Then at last you say, all that is here is only Brahma, means you say you resolve there's neither I nor the world. You see the order? Do you see the order here? Very important to see. You cannot come other way around, okay? You have to go like this only. It's very important. Aham Brahma Asmi first. Then you have to say what? No. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Second sentence. What third sentence? Aham Idam Sarvam. I itself am the whole. And what is the fourth sentence? Neha nanasti kinchanam is what? There's not here. Ekameva advitiyam sat. Ekameva advitiyam brahma. Brahmano na iha kinchana. All that is here is only Brahma. There's nothing other than Brahma. The only secondless non-dual reality, Brahma. When you say in that sentence, you have cognitively resolved the knower known, I this duality. Okay? Really speaking, there's not even I, not even this. What is only Brahma. Is it clear?
Hmm. What's the difference between Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma and Ekam Advitiyam Brahma?
No, there's different ways of emphasizing the same fact. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, first you say, okay, but afterwards, Ekam Eva means when you say they're not even Jagat. It's another way of expressing the same thing. What is only Brahma? Means you are in saying what is only Brahma, you say not even I here. I is only a temp expression to arrive at Brahma. Is it clear? Yeah, almost the same. Different ways of putting it. Same fact is repeated and revealed.
Can you repeat the four sentences, please?
Aham Brahma Asmi. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. See, in Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, you say everything here is Brahma. We may still, I am is there. Yeah. Therefore, what? Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma means I myself am the whole. So, Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Kalidam Brahma. Okay, Aham Idam Sarvam. And the fourth sentence is what? Ekamevadvitiyam Brahmano na iha kinchit. Brahmanaha na iha kinchit. Means, all that is only Brahma, the secondless non-dual reality Brahma, is not other than Brahma here. Got the difference now? Yeah. Why the order? Because the truth has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing first. Only then you can understand the meaning of the word existence also. Only then you can understand the meaning of the word limitlessness. Amazing, isn't it? The order, very important. You can never say, I understand limitlessness, but I don't know what existence is. You can never say that. For you to be able to understand what limitlessness is, you must have understood existence. To understand existence, you must have understood awareness, pure knowledge. And to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, you have to see who the knower is. Okay? How do you arrive at knowledge? Only as the truth of the knower. Then you resolve the knower's being only a simple empress status. So these are the things which we cannot do in Upanishad classes. Even though we teach there, now this in this text we separately we are taking and seeing this. All these things are not new. I have told you many times in the class. But here exclusively we are seeing this. That is why this text is meant for contemplation. So when you say ekameva advitiyam neha nanastikne brahmanaha na iha kinchana, there is nothing other than Brahma. What is only secondless, non-dual, abstract reality obtaining him of pure knowledge, which is of the nature of existence and limitlessness, implied with Chaim Brahma. When you say you are negating all the differences, all the divisions, all the differences are negated, because differences are very real in our perception, isn't it? We always perceive the whole transaction, life, living your life means differences are very much there. You cannot undo the differences. You don't need to undo the differences. But you have to resolve the differences cognitively. From the standpoint of the reality which alone is the only secondless non-dual reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, is one secondless non-dual reality means, from the standpoint of the consciousness is of the nature of formlessness, therefore there is no swagata bhedaha. The internal differences obtaining within a given object are not there. Okay, see, an object which is partful is subject to swagata bheda. Different parts are there, you can say swagata bheda is possible. Head, hands, legs, etc. Every part is different from every other part. This swagata bheda is not there on the part of reality. Reality is free from swagata bheda. But all this different reality is free from differences, but all the differences, the so-called seemingly existing differences, enjoy their existence in the reality. Is it clear? So sajatiya bhedaha is also not there. The difference obtained within a given species, that is also not there. And vijatiya bhedaha, difference experience between the two different species, also is not there. So swagata bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, all these differences are there. Don't say they are not there at all. But all these differences are seemingly real differences which enjoy difference itself enjoys its existence in awareness. From the standpoint of the reality, the consciousness, where is the difference? There is no such a thing called difference. That's why all this difference free, division free, one secondless, non-dual reality, obtained from pure knowledge, implied by the term Brahma, alone is, there is nothing other than Brahma here. Therefore you can say all that is here is Ishwaraha, all that is here is Bhagavan, all that is here is Brahma, therefore you can say all that is here is Ishwara. This is the concept of God with reference to Veda Shastram. How many gods are there now? God is not one, gods are not many. What is only the God, only the Lord, not even the God. What is only the Lord in terms of manifestation of knowledge. And this is not, it is a verifiable fact. Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Ekameva dvitiyam vai Brahmano neha kinchana Concluding verse. We'll read it now. We'll come back and do the class later on. Hridaya kamala madhye Deepavadvedasaram Pranavamayamatarkyam Yogibhir dhyanagamyam Hari Guru Shiva Yogam
Hari Guru Shiva Yogam
Sarva Bhutastamekam
Sarva Bhutastamekam
Sakrudapi Manasavai Chintayedyasamuktaha Hridaya Kamala Madhye Deepavadvedasaram Pranavamayamatarkyam Hridaya Kamala Madhye Now, let me, before I go to this verse, again to conclude his text, having said all that is, there's only Brahma. Shankara Bhagavatpada says, concludes his text saying, where you can recognize the truth, if you have to contemplate upon the truth, to assimilate the vision of everything being the truth, the final vision of the fact. What is the fact? All that is, there is only Brahma. If this has to become assimilated, for which you have to arrive at first the truth. And so where the truth is available for recognition, he says, whereby we can arrive at the truth and we can dwell upon the truth, assimilate the vision of all that is here being the only the truth. Is it clear? So for the purpose of helping us assimilate the absolute vision of all that is here is only the truth, Bhagavatpada here first of all helps us arrive at the truth by saying where the truth is available. And even to arrive at the truth, wherever it's available, he also shows that definitely it's important to understand it with the help of the teacher and the Shastra. It's a concluding verse, that's all. Nothing else. Now we'll do it. It is, when I read, please say every word two times so you get it correctly. Hridaya Kamala Madhye Hridaya Kamala Madhye Again, Hridaya Kamala Madhye. I know the print, see people whoever has written this has not done it very correctly. So that's why I'm repeating it, so that you can correct it now. Hridaya Kamala Madhye
Hridaya Kamala Madhye
Deepavadvedasaram
Deepavadvedasaram
Deepavadvedasaram Deepavadvedasaram Pranavamayamatarkyam సత్యం ప్రణవమయమతర్క్యం ప్రణవమయం ప్రణవమయం అతర్క్యం అతర్క్యం ప్రణవమయం అతర్క్యం ప్రణవమయమతర్క్యం ప్రణవమయం అతర్క్యం ప్రణవమయమతర్క్యం యోగిభిర్ ధ్యానగమ్యం యోగిభిర్ ధ్యానగమ్యం హరి గురు శివ యోగం హరి గురు శివ యోగం సర్వభూతస్థం ఏకం సర్వభూతస్థం ఏకం సర్వభూతస్థమేకం See, I know some of you are able to read. Please say after me so that everybody can understand correctly. Sarvabhutastam ekam.
Sarvabhutastam ekam.
Sarvabhutastam ekam.
Sarvabhutastam ekam.
Sakrit api.
Sakrit api.
Sakrit api.
సకృదపి
మనసా
వై
మనసా వై చింతయేత్ చింతయేత్ యః చింతయేద్యః చింతయేద్యః స ముక్తః చింతయేద్ యః సః ముక్తః సో ఫైనలీ శంకర భగవత్పాద సేస్ సః ముక్తః హీ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ హూ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ సః ముక్తః హీ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ హూ సః ముక్తః మీన్స్ దట్ పర్సన్ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ Which person is free? Who is free? He is free means who is free? That person is free. Yaha. He who. The one who chintayet. One who chintayet means yaha chintayeti saha muktaha. Yaha chintayeti saha muktaha. Yaha chintayet saha muktaha. He who meditates upon is the free person. He who contemplates upon is the one who is free. Or he who contemplates upon him, he who sees this fact repeatedly. He who repeatedly sees this fact, the fact which cannot be seen through physical eyes, but which can be appreciated through the eye of knowledge. Okay? He who repeatedly sees this fact, who appreciates this fact. Okay? Yaha chintayet saha muktaha. So, repeatedly seeing the fact what? How? Manasa sakridapi. Even once. Sakrit means once. Sakrit means once. Sakritapi, even at least one time you appreciate this fact as a fact. See, you can't something, you know, understanding happens once, Even if once you, this vision becomes very clear, even if once you understand the fact, then you dwell upon this fact at least once. Dwelling upon the fact once means what? You know, at least once you dwell upon this fact, you don't need to repeat it, you do it also, then definitely the fact understood will remain forever. The fact understood, dwelt upon once assimilated, the fact understood, dwelt upon, assimilated, then again, after assimilation, you not repeat it again and again and again. Understood, assimilated, dwelt upon, assimilated once, enough, and he is free forever. Yaha chintayet saha muktaha. Yaha chintayet means what? Yaha chintayeti. He who dwells upon this fact, understands this fact, dwells upon this fact, assimilates this fact in his mind, once he is free. What is the fact? Hari Guru Sarva Bhutastam Ekam. Sarva Bhutastam Ekam. Bhutam means a being here. Sarva Bhuta means all the beings here. Sarva Bhutastam Ekam. The one who, even once a person recognizes this is the only truth, the reality obtaining in all the truth of all the beings. Once you recognize, understand the only truth of all the beings once and dwell upon this, assimilate this fact of the truth being one on the same of all the beings, then that person is free. Sarva bhutastham ekam yaha sakradapi chintayet. He who understands the only truth of all the beings, dwells upon the truth, and assimilates the truth once, then he is ever free. Sarva bhutastham ekam. Manasa sakudapi yaha chintayet saha muktaha. He alone is free. See, he emphasizes the fact the freedom implies seeing the truth being one, secondless and non-dual. The truth of everything and all being one. And this is a fact. The truth of all the forms, names and functions, truth of all the beings is one and the same. And his truth is one, secondless and non-dual. The one who understands this truth being one, dwells upon this truth, this wish, fact of the truth being one, and assimilate this fact of the truth being one, definitely is free. Otherwise there is no freedom. Okay, so understanding the fact of the truth of everything being one and the same implies even having the individuality is resolved also. That is why he is free. Sarva bhutastham ekam sakridapi manasa yaha chintayet saha vai muktahi. Indeed is free. That vai is added to adjust the meter, which means indeed. He indeed is free. Who? The one who understands the truth of everything being one, and who understands the fact of the truth being one, and dwells upon that fact and assimilates this fact once, and he is free. And what is the truth here? You know, what is the truth, that what is the only truth of all the beings? he says, that truth, Hari Guru Shiva Yogam. Harihi stands for manifest universe. The whole universe, look at this, the universe experienced in the waking state is what? Manifestation of knowledge, which is looked upon as the Lord Vishnu. And the whole universe is unmanifest also is what? Is the Lord Shivaha. Okay? The total power of manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form, the unmanifest power of knowledge the reality endowed with the unmanifest power in terms of the unmanifest universe and the reality endowed with the manifest power of knowledge in terms of the manifest universe, given three different names as Lord of the universe, as Harihi and Shivaha, is also what? The same reality, truth. And then Guruhu, important thing. Guruhu means the one who imparts knowledge is Guruhu. By imparting knowledge, one who helps you resolve the ignorance is Guruhu. Not to destroy the Guruhu, okay? Guruhu is the one who imparts the knowledge, unfolds the words of the Shastram, thereby helps you understand what ignorance is, helps resolve the ignorance, is Guruhu. And here, which means the one who communicates, speaks. Now the question is, who is this Guruhu? Is there a Guruhu teacher outside of the reality? Other than the reality. Conscious, the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge is not the speaker, not the communicator, not the Guruhu. But there cannot be the Guruhu without the communication. Whoever communicates the teaching is given the Guru's title, status. Therefore, communication is what? Who is the communicator here? Guru is not the communicator. Reality is not, Brahman is not the communicator, but there is no communicator other than Brahma. Okay? For the communication to be there, there must be the communicator, isn't it? The teaching to be there, there must be the teacher. For the speaking to be there, speech to be there, there must be the speaker. And the speaking implies what? There must be knowledge, isn't it? Manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, even the teacher also is essentially Brahma. The first and the foremost of the teacher. Just as the knower is absolutely, there's no knower other than consciousness. There's no teacher other than consciousness. Understand? Consciousness is not the teacher. Brahman is not the teacher, but there is no teacher other than manifestation of knowledge. That's why we say, any knowledge which flows, okay, is what? Any knowledge which gets expressed in the form of words is what? Manifestation of knowledge. And the source of that knowledge is pure knowledge is the reality. Therefore, the first and the foremost of the gurus, the beginning link of the lineage of teachers is the Brahma. And we give the different name what? Adi Guruhu. We give the manifestation is Ishwaraha. Okay, Bhagavan, the Lord, is the first and the foremost, the beginning link of the lineage of teachers, we say, because in any generation, any time, any teacher who plays the role of a teacher, now, there the teacher can play the role of a teacher only if there is manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? And what is the source of knowledge? Source of manifestation. Therefore, we look at as what? Ishwaraha. That is why Adi Guruhu means the source of knowledge, all knowledge, without which manifestation of knowledge is not possible, without which communication is not possible, without which, okay, transference of knowledge is not possible, without which the teacher qualification is not possible, is looked upon as the first and the foremost of the gurus, the beginning link of the lineage of teachers. In any form, in any given physical form, there is a teacher, and that teacher is absolutely Ishvara. Of course, the student is Ishvara. All it is only Ishvara only. The teacher also is Ishvara only. That is why we in our culture, Bhagavan as a bestower of spiritual wisdom is specifically, specially personified as Hayagrivaha and Dakshinamurtihi. Heart's next Bhagavan, Hayagriva, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is personified as the teacher, we give Hayagrivaha. And Lord Shiva personified as the teacher is what? Vishnu, no? Dakshinamurtihi. That's why in our temple we have Dakshinamurti in a Gurukulam. Who is the Guru here? That is why we don't hesitate to fall at the feet of a teacher. When we fall at the feet of the teacher, we are not bowing to the physical form. The physical form is only a medium through which there's manifestation of knowledge, isn't it? And manifestation of course, that is why we bow to each other also. We greet each other, we salute each other, say namaste to each other, vanakkam to each other, because I see Bhagavan in your form, you see Bhagavan in my form, therefore we greet each other. Say namaste. And we bow to the teachers also, not because there's some hesitation, isn't it? I don't want to, means we don't do namaskar to the form here, we see Bhagavan. There's no teacher other than Bhagavan. That's why no teacher can claim oneself to be, I'm a teacher. I'm playing a role of a teacher means there's Bhagavan who's behaves here as the teacher. Understand? Already I is resolved in Bhagavan and I see the Bhagavan being here. Is it clear? Who is the Guru? Who? Brahman, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, everything is a source. Ultimately, everything is a source of knowledge. Brahma, nothing other than Brahma, nothing other than the Ishvara. You can say two things. There's nothing other than Brahma. You can say, all that is here is only knowledge. You can also say, all that is here is manifestation of knowledge. You can say, then you can say, all that is here is only Ishvara. Which means, the one who plays the role of a teacher also is essentially nothing but Brahma. And the whole universe which remains unmanifest is also Brahma. Then you give the name Shivaha. The whole universe which is manifest also is what? Nothing but Brahma, which is Vishnu, Harihi. The manifest universe which enjoys the status of being existent is also Brahma, therefore Vishnu. The whole universe unmanifest, which is not available for an experience, which doesn't have the status of being existent, that unmanifest universe also is Brahma, therefore Shivaha. And one who plays the role of a teacher is also nothing but Brahma. and the truth of the unmanifest universe. The truth of the manifest universe and the truth of the teacher is one and the only truth obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, the only source of all knowledge, is what is the only truth of all the beings here. And one who discovers this truth and dwells upon this fact of the truth being one, assimilates this fact of this truth being one, even once, he is free. Hari Guru Shiva Yogam Sarvabhutasthamekam Sakrudapi Manasavai Chintaye Jasamuktaha. I had two more sentences, important sentences. We'll do later on. Okay? We'll do again tomorrow also, don't worry. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.